Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On The Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Happy Tuesday, everybody. We made it to the second day of the new week, thanking God for the opportunity of seeing a new day. I want to go straight into our shout-outs today with Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 KISS FM Radio in New York City, currently with isolradio.com. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m., again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. When he's not doing that, he's gracing us from New York with the best of live R&B events all over the best of venues as the CEO of Track One Entertainment Company. Two, my team, Lady Diamond, Elaine Yeves, Monster Miles, that awesome DJ Domerica, Rodney Williams, and, of course, our activist and panelist from Toledo, Ohio, Deacon Zeddy Williams. Thanking you guys for doing an awesome job on and off the air. I want to thank my sponsor tonight, Mr. Mark Pittman. You guys know him as the moderator of the Real World Black News and Discussion Group, as well as the Black History Suppress Group on Facebook. He's an awesome guy out there doing all that he can to promote black awareness and restoration. So thank you, Mark, once again for your awesome contribution to our sponsorships. I want to say thank you to the other social media supporters, the Black Love and Conversations group moderated by Linda Miller, What About Us by our own Professor Carl Tone Jones, to Capitalist N Group with Marvin Young. I want to thank Black Mamba with Sonny Gibson, and I want to thank the Pro Black Topics and the On the Edge Listeners Lounge that's moderated by myself. Thank you all very much for your constant contributions, your constant discussions, and your active participation on all of my pre-broadcast discussions groups. Even though today you guys were a little quiet, I wonder why. All right. Tonight, guys, we're going to be continuing our State of the Black Youth series. This will be going on all week. Tonight is part two, and we're going to be speaking on the effect of internal life hating on our kids. And that is what it is that we do to ourselves and how it does it affect our youth. So you guys know how this goes. We are going to go out with our pre-broadcast song. And I would like today to give Miss Stephanie Jano, she was one of our previous sponsors as well, another airplay with this wonderful, beautiful ballad called I'll Be There. After her and a word from our sponsors, we'll get this discussion started, so don't go away. Keep it locked with Katie. Be right back in just a few minutes.
Oh,
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
Now, back with more On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett. Okay, tonight we are going to be discussing the effects of internal hating on our youth. This is a thing that we have been speaking about all week, ladies and gentlemen. We have been speaking about how racism affects us. We've been speaking about how all of the things that we have been coming up with as far as women and men who can't seem to get along properly with each other, the way that that would affect us. We spoke about how men degrading women over their weaves, yet dealing with outside cultures with the same exact thing going on and finding it to be okay. We've spoken about the Trayvon Martin murders, and we've spoken about the Trayvon Martin and Jordan Davis murders. Let me correct that straight up. We've spoken about how our black icons seem to fund and rejuvenate and continue to uplift outside cultures. So all of these things that have been bothering us on a level where we are, as I said last night, and we have been speaking, we are adults. We are able to understand and comprehend, and we are angry anyway. So if we're angry, and we know what to do with our anger, and we know what we could do with our anger and how to do certain things, how bad do you think our children have it when they're dealing with prepubescence, puberty, when they're dealing with being young and don't know why certain things are happening or people who don't like the color of their skin are treating them? So today let's speak about how the things that we do to ourselves that keep us down further, that continue to give our outsiders some more strength to build up against us, and how that would affect our children. Let's speak on one of the most common internal war that we have with each other, and that's the battle of our complexions. The first thing that we do as a people is ask a person who has long hair or straight hair if that's their hair. The next thing we do is speak about a person's skin color in a derogatory fashion. You black this, you dark as that, you black as the ace of spades, you're crispy, you're all these things. This is what we say to each other. And then those that are not of the darker complexion, we speak about them on a high yellow, red bone, you coon, you half-breed. These are all of the things. And funny, all of these things were said exactly like this in exactly those words by slave masters. And they weren't said in a nice way. What are the other things that we do as a people? We tend to sensationalize or adopt these cultures from things that have been designed to go against us, such as the nigger word. We took off a couple of letters on the end, put a new A at the end, and now it's not nigger anymore, it's nigger. And it's something that we adopt for ourselves, and we walk around making it our own thing. Let's speak about how we have to look like thugs on reality TV, how we have to expose our personal business, whereas our counterparts get to have this as a troubling discussion that needs to be addressed, how those very issues can be used as an excuse and a defense when a white man person kills a black person, but is totally ignored when it's the other way around, or is used as a mitigating factor or supporting theory when we're being prosecuted for such crimes. How do you think all of these things affect our children when their parents are being taken away in handcuffs simply because they're black and committed a crime? When society is showing them that everything about them is horrible. Let's speak about how the stupid concept of complexion wars are building inferiority and superiority complexes that don't need to be and that actually cause our children to make self-destructive decisions for themselves. For example, after having that person called Donald Sterling exposed as a racist, what would attract a beautiful, attractive, young African-American and / Mexican woman to even find him something that is attractive enough to be connected with, especially in the projected image as of a mistress? Why would we do that? Why is it that we can't walk around and look at somebody that has a different type of hair and not be the first question to ask, why is that your real hair? Are you half Spanish? Are you white? Are you this? Why is it that can't seem to happen? The other conversation we need to have with ourselves is this. What do you think that your daughters are seeing or your sons are seeing, okay, if they're seeing their black men showing white, we're talking about black men degrading their black women about the choices of hairstyles that they use, for example, weaves or blonde hair coloring. And they find it something to be a derogatory joke about, publicizing it either on or among their friends in the neighborhood or on social media. Yet, you'll find that same black man who talk crap being right with a white woman or a Spanish woman who is bumping elbows or knocking down a black woman at the hair store trying to get her extensions in. What does that say to our children? Why is it that we have to build these stupid wars? Like I said, let's go back to the complexion war because that seems to be the biggest thing, where you have a young light-skinned woman or girl who has long hair who feels that there's a guy she likes and so does there's a dark-skinned, short-haired girl that likes the same guy, and automatically that girl with the long, straight hair and the light skin is going to automatically believe that she's going to be the winner by default. The winner off the bat. There's going to be nothing that anybody can do because she's the epitome of what beauty was standing for. If we can do this I'm checking my mic right about now. If we can do this as adults and we don't like what that sounds like or feels like, then what would our children do? What would our children do? We can handle it, or sometimes we can't. Let's speak about the fact that there are men out there who will sleep with a black woman, and then the black men will sleep with a black woman, leave their children, and then go and form a new family with a white woman. Let's talk about these young children that are out there saying their hair is straight, but they're dark-skinned. And to the world, they're black. But there's a video that's out right now with a girl that I believe she's Panamanian, and she's black, dark-skinned black. But she's telling the cameras in this high school documentary that she don't deal with black people because black people are beneath them. They're stupid. They smell. They're loud. They're thugs. They're going to wind up in jail. Let's talk about all of the black women that's out there saying they want to marry a white man because their children will have a better life. Let's talk about how all of these internal wars have caused us to lower our standards of what the criteria of success is. We can be broke don't have a home, but as long as we've got a Lexus, a Mercedes-Benz, or Porsche, like the white guys do, we're successful, quote, end quote. If we could afford to go into the big box seats at a basketball game, even though we probably will never be able to do it on a weekly basis or on a regular basis, we're successful. Let's talk about how, in order for us to feel like we're doing something, we are going to be big-time stars when we're sitting on Maury Povich, embarrassing ourselves and telling the world that we are one girl who slept with 50 guys and we need to come back to Maury's show 80 times so we can get to the bottom of which sperm fathered our child. Meanwhile, the raunchier the guys talk about against this baby's mother, the better. And what about the ones that actually do turn out to be the baby's father? Before that DNA came out, Eden called her every type of slut or easy, round the way. I only did it on a dare. I did it for this. And meanwhile, he's the child's father. So as if this will go away because it's on TV, when that child gets older and somebody decides to use it as one of the world's funniest videos or one of the world's most stupid persons, it'll be in someone's archive somewhere, possibly floating in space on some celestial projective TV. So what exactly is it that internalized hating benefits? How the world has taught us that it's okay for us to be single black mothers to be blamed for everything. Like, oh, let's talk about the other internalized hate. The ones where we ourselves talk against ourselves for the white man. How we excuse racism because it doesn't really exist. It's us that's doing it to ourselves. How there's no such thing as black on white on black racism, but it's racism among ourselves. How it is that we'll sit there and sell ourselves out, just like the house slaves used to do to the field slaves. How we'll sell our dignity and sell our soul and deunify ourselves and break our own selves down so that we can get a piece of the money that the white man offers. You know why? Because they have it, we don't. It's an instant fix. So what? I'll look like a deadbeat father who just sleeps around and doesn't care whether his children are fed or bred. I'm on Maury Povich. So what if I don't have the right to become a CEO one day or a partner? I'm getting paid more than I've ever seen. So what if he told me I can sleep with anybody that I want, just don't bring the people I love around him because they're black? He's a L.A. Clippers owner. No problem there. And all I've got to do is record a conversation of him degrading me, and I'll make it look real good. And I can get some bestsellers. As a matter of fact, people will want to interview me. I'm famous. So what if I've downed my sister or my brother because they picked me, because I have long hair and I'm skinny and my nose is small and my lips are small? So what? So what if they're not trying to educate me in the process to allow me to educate myself? All I need is the bucks. So what if I'm saying nigga with an A? It's nigga, it's not nigger, and it's us saying it to each other, so we clearly don't mean the same harm and degradation that the people who started that horrible word meant. Because we're black, right? Surely you know I'm not going to hogtie you and put you in whips and chains on a slip, on a ship. It's us. We brothers. We bros. And as you're saying that, there we go, that's the one you want to get, that ignorant idiot. So what? We're being portrayed as weak-ass people, as stubs that are going to die, and that's what we're destined to be. So what? There's people messing with our educational systems, telling our children in first grade that they must make a sixth grade criteria or they're going to be left back. So what? Our children are not in the school systems anymore for education, but for funding. We have a babysitter, and when it's on the school, it's on the school. I'm at work. Nobody could say anything was on me if something should happen to my kids. So what? My kids are being fed cloned meat every time the government of the agricultural world wants to experiment with some drugs so they can get fat greedy and make the cows fatter and get more beef. So what? We're getting chicken by the dozen for 11 cents a pound. So what our teams are looking and seeing, that the stupider you are on TV and the more trouble you get into racks up points on 16 and Pregnant and the Bad Girls Club. So what, we're ruining our marriages because we just watched something on Oprah that said that black men will definitely do X, Y, and Z, and black women will do X, Y, and Z. Meanwhile, we're off at work, and our counterparts have watched some reality show, and as soon as they come home unsuspecting, here we go. What is this doing to our children? Why are our 11-year-olds, you know, trying to follow Stephanie from the Bad Girls Club because she's hot and she's raunchy and she's daring? And that's who we are iconicizing. That's who we want to grow up and be just like when we grow up. What exactly is it that you believe our children are doing? That they don't see what we're doing? They don't see that mommy and daddy were together? He called her all sorts of names while they were together. He's done with it now. He wants to go jump ship and go find a girl that has extensions in her hair after he told her mother that she looked like an idiot with horse hair in her head. So what, our children are sitting up there following the media as a way to decide how they're going to grow up to be, what they should be. Does it even matter that all of these things have taken our children's choices away to want to make changes because it's their personal feeling, not because the world says they need to? Isn't it a problem when you men are out there betting and jetting? What I say by that, you want to bet these girls have seeds and keep it moving? Then go establish a real, honest life, white picket fence, family life, giving that person everything because that person is a different color, because society told you to. Because it's hip to do this. So what, are boys that believing that women are nothing? Meanwhile, without a woman, their black butts couldn't be here. So what, there's black men out there hosting shows and calling the fate and the horrors that we experience the blame of single black women while making us single black mothers. It's not just the outside oppression that's making us down and out, ladies and gentlemen. It's us. It's our damn job to tell our children that just the way you are perfect. Why? Because God made you that way. And it doesn't matter how many people don't have arms and legs and still can function. Maybe not on the ideal or traditional level, but they get around because they've learned how to deal with what life has given them. There's a two-legless man right now that's on trial for murder of his, wait for it, girlfriend. He's a top-notch track runner. He's a marathon runner with no legs. And he had a life. He had somebody who loved him despite all the things that the average person would have looked at. So what is it? Why is it a problem for us to value the royalty that we are? How is it we can't see that? And I understand there's so many things out there, but when do we say, even if we can't see it from a regal standpoint, when do we say that our children are the most important things in the world? And despite what I have to go through or what's going on out there, I have got to teach my kids that there's something beyond this, that you're not just here to exist for somebody's punching bag or bullet practice. That us ladies are not just about the type of curves in our thighs we can show some men. And that, guys, you're not just out there to look for some woman for a quick intervention in the bed and keep it moving. That the value of the family structure is the most important foundation. And it starts with the way the parents treat each other. That is the problem that we're having. There's someone on the line. I'm going to bring them in to ask their opinion. Hang on with me, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Excuse me. Good evening, KD. This is Al Tariq. I was calling in.
Hey, Al Tariq. Where you been, stranger? How you doing?
Oh, fine. Yeah.
All right. So what's your feeling on tonight's topic?
Yeah. And the topic, I want to make sure that I'm on the right track because I had read earlier Was it about internalized hatred?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As far as our youth, right?
Absolutely. See, yeah, you're on track even though you weren't on the queue last night.
Well, I really see that internalized hatred is very bad because what needs to be done about it, as far as internalized hatred, you know, our parents have to be on point first off and foremost, and we have to teach them the best we can to love, you know, because internalized hatred means that there's a lack of love, you know, and just the same as knowledge, without love, you know, people will perish, you know, even more so, because if you love yourself, you can gain knowledge. But if you don't have love for yourself, you don't really care about nothing. No knowledge, no nothing, nobody. So the kids that we see today, they're in a bad situation because there's no love. And it shows with them. You know, it shows in a way that they act towards one another. It's a lot of different things that we see how they're violent towards one another. And life doesn't mean anything anymore, you know. And it's just a bad cycle because a big part of it, as well as what's going on with the teachings, and you're right about is us, because physically you're doing it. But the thing is, all of the pressures of, you know, the not having education, and, you know, maybe your parents may be, someone may be on drugs, and it's a whole lot of factors that play in it. You know, that leads to that internalized hatred. So at times they look at themselves, they can't see nothing that's positive in their lives. Many of our kids, you know, the youth growing up today, they don't see a mother and father today. They see mainly mothers. So they don't have an example of, you know, a good man in their lives. Some people say they have an uncle or whatever, but nowadays in the last so many generations, these kids that are coming up, you know, a nice amount of them, they're seeing, especially the ones getting in trouble, they're seeing their uncles and aunts either on drugs or selling drugs, their older brothers and all that, excuse me, and all that type of things, those type of things that are going on, you know, today with us, you know, so it's bad. I remember you saying that, you know, and sometimes you say that the parents have dropped the ball, and it's that's a big bulk of it, you know, because the kids, they look up to their peers. You know, with a time where I had a peer and I had some uncles, they wasn't directly around me, but I did have some working uncles. I had some brothers who were working. You know, I had a mother who was a working person. So in the end, all that wound up helping because it was something that I could come back to because it was a part of my growth and development. But everybody's not faced with that right now. You know, it's
absolutely.
A lot of us out here whose parents may not be working. They may be on welfare. The dad, he's not working. He's a drug dealer, you know, or he's an addict, or he's an alcoholic. You know, it's just a lot of things in there, and we have to pick the ball back up. And it's easier said than done, but it must be done. You know, because without it, we'll just keep going down and down and down and playing that crab in the barrel syndrome. We'll be stuck in a vicious cycle of death and violence, you know, and death, violence, and miseducation, you know, whatever you can name just about negative, you know, is impacting our lives now. So, you know, for a big part of it, you know, and those of us who can help, that is not affected in that way, we have to be willing to try to get involved with them. Don't even have to be necessarily spending money. We have to start being able to invest ourselves, I guess, in programs that may be going on, or if we have to start up something with the grown-ups. See, the grown-ups are not coming together, and I'm not just saying in your own family. It takes a community. So if the community is not caring, then that goes down to the kids, and the kids pick up on things. A kid can tell if it's not being loved or if it's fake love. They can tell better than a lot of us as grown-ups.
And that's one of the things that we always feel.
They
are saying things that we believe children don't understand, and they understand it. They may not be able to grasp how to express it comprehensively, but they know what the hell is going on. And the thing is, as a black people, we have got to stop this crap. We have got to stop measuring ourselves up based on what we were told was wrong about us or right about us from people who don't give a damn about us. That is the difference. What the hell does it matter if you were born light-skinned? Understand, what a lot of the dark-skinned people don't seem to understand is that usually, based on our history, anybody that comes out with a different complexion in the black race usually came from a slave master that raped one of their ancestors and was discarded or brought or sold or whatever it was. Okay? That's the sad thing. So we sort of deal with that because that's one of the complexion war statements that are bringing out. Matter of fact, I hear it a lot now from people that, you know, are in my life. And I'm not saying they're in my life in a good way. I'm just saying they're in my life. Oh, you're a half-breed. What do you know? Oh, you don't have to worry about it. Your hair is fine. Oh, you don't have to worry about it. You have to. It doesn't matter. What they fail to realize that while they're getting certain types of prejudice, such as people outright saying, calling them all sorts of names because of their complexion, the light-skinned girls are the first ones that people want to rape, that people want to bring up, and they have a bigger expectation to be perfect. Okay, that does a lot. People don't tend to understand that the internal abuse or mental and verbal abuse sometimes goes a whole lot further than what you can see on your arm and put some Band-Aids on.
Mm-hmm.
A whole lot further. It's hard for you to believe that you're beautiful when everything that people want to do to beautiful people, okay, in a bad way, makes you feel like I wish I was ugly or I wish I was what people think is ugly. That's just one of the things that we do to each other. We have made it hard for us to make the same decisions that white people make for a change in beauty to be a good thing because the people that we're doing it for, black men, are the first ones to stand in line and throw the bullets at us. Ah, you got horse hair on. Ah, you wearing that weird stuff. Oh, you doing this. Oh, you doing that. And no matter what it is that we do, at the end of the day, when they can't seem to figure out why the role that they were supposed to play and didn't do failed, how can we blame them? So Tommy Sotomayor, you guys know that he's one of my heartburn items, is a perfect example of the other thing that we do to internalize hate ourselves. We become coons for the other side.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that they can go and give a little high offer or high to us because we, you know, we tend to think that anything with a couple of extra zeros on the end is richness. But they'll be the first ones to sit there and say, see, I gave you both. See, I'm giving you a bonus. See, I'm giving you this. So you know what? At the end of the day, they bought loyalty. They bought our loyalty. Okay, so we're going to be the first ones to go out there and say, no, racism doesn't exist against black people. Black people are the problem.
Mm.
We're the problem. Now we got our kids can't even pick to choose to go into basketball now because they're property. And as much as they want you to go out there and break your knee and don't have a basketball game with your son without the league's permission, or if you get injured, you're not going to be getting any sympathy from us. You're going to be getting a penalty from us. Now your own owner could go out and say that we want you to play for us. Yes, do the horse and pony, whip, whip, hello, nay, giddy up. But the minute that it's time for you to take your top franchise player to the country club, said Donald Sterling, you're not welcome. I don't care how big you are. You're still a nigger. You're still a dirty, stinking spit. You're a wetback. You're a Mexican. You're a nasty black person. Oh, wait a minute. I bought Skittles in Arizona, and I'm wearing a hoodie. Uh-oh, I'm in the wrong neighborhood. Too many clipped gardens. Black people don't belong in such a pretty sight. Let me shoot him and get away with it and say I was in fear for my life because he was way too tall for me. No amount of person to be that tall. Wait a minute. I'm teaching them ABCs? No, not ABCs. ABCs and put your hands straight out when you see a cop. That's what we're supposed to be focusing on, not how many Jordans we can pay the white man for a little more. And I'm going to say this again to all of you that listen. If you are not one of these people, please don't pick up the shoes I'm talking about and trying to put your feet in it. Because obviously you're doing everything we're trying to get to happen. So you're good people. But in the same token, if you see this happening and you know you can do something about it, or you can make a stand about it, and you decide to go quietly into your little cars and go, oh, that's just awful. Awful in a quiet little fashion does nothing to help this make this go away, or at least be put down to where it can be controlled. You just being a nice person and not saying a word to anybody about anything or standing up against it is really doing nothing at all. Let's stop trying to look for accolades on social media, because Mark Zuckerberg is looking at some of the posts on these Facebook walls and he's cracking up while he's collecting. So while we're busy showing our kids that, yeah, we said something on Facebook and we didn't do anything in City Hall, oh well. The outrage that we have, totally misdirected. Because we're mad while we're buying their tickets again. We're mad while we're giving them more merchandise power. We're mad at the wrong people. Because why is Jay-Z making deals with Barney to get money off of things that they say we can't buy? Why are we celebrating a man that clearly is pimping out his wife for whatever business benefits he can get? That's the message that we're given, that success comes when you take your clothes off and when you're controversial, when you divulge your personal problems. Do you think those men, not the ones that's up there trying to buy into it, but the ones who truly just discovered on national TV that the kid they love so much may not be theirs, you really believe that he was worried about being on 15 Minutes of Fame with aging Maury Povich? That's a personal, intimate, heartbreaking situation. And you decided to go to Maury Povich to be your television counselor and display your kid and your personal business in front of millions of viewers while he's directing the camera to catch your real bad look. Wait, make sure you zoom in on that guy because he looks like he's about to cry on national television. Meanwhile, they're afforded the right to go into private counseling and go through whatever they need to do in private with dignity and work it out. Meanwhile, a little kid like Honey Boo Boo can be considered a tiny tot beauty queen, but our dark-skinned girls are not even in the running. The best thing they could do for them is open their legs. Way to go, black people. We are really going up there. We're giving our kids the world, you know. Hello. But we were on Facebook talking about how angry we are about it. But we're coming on national radio shows telling people how stupid we are. That we need to tell our kids to be quiet and turn the music down. That we need to tell our boys to duck down and not look so tall. Now, we need to tell our cops when we're in the middle of trouble that somebody just hit me. Well, what did you do? No, I didn't do that, sir. That we have to have an athlete, a grown man, who was involved with dogfighting, be continuously punished and embarrassed and degraded and emasculated for the rest of his career. You tell me if there was any other white person that was out there that would be forced to be a spokesperson for the very thing he was arrested for. Tell me if Riley Cooper got up there and became a spokesperson against bias. Meanwhile, Michael Vick is an animal rights activist on national TV, and this is what we're telling our children is the way to learn their lessons. We women have been taught to be independent. While we sit there and let ourselves be portrayed as Evelyn Lozada, Tammy Roman, well, that's what our highlight of the evening is. That's how we make our money. That's the way white America would love to see us. We're supposed to be L.A. Clippers owners' mistresses. Yes, I'm going to keep saying that because it's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. We want to be on big, big blog talk videos talking about how black people are dumb and they stink and they're stupid and they're loud and they're going to be shoved. We want to sit up there being the darkest complexion ever with a white man on her arm talking about, I'm looking for a white man. Not that I have any problem with anybody that is having a relationship, a real romance with somebody outside of their race. The heart does what the heart does. But if it was a heart-related situation, no problem. Can't help that. But if you are sitting up there saying that all the good brothers that are out there, the successful brothers that truly want to be whatever, that you are looking for a white man because black men don't even have a chance, what the hell are you saying? And what do you think your kids are saying? You just opened up the door for your daughter to believe that the best way she can succeed is to be beautiful, keep tight, and open her legs and sexy for a rich white man. Because that is, quote, end quote, success.
Hmm.
There's a panelist coming in. Let me bring them in. Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on here.
Hey, this is Carlos Willoughby Jones of Stalo Jenkins calling from DC.
Hey, Stalo, there's somebody behind you. Let me bring them in and I'll get you right up, okay?
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Good evening, everyone, and blessings to everyone and their families.
Good evening, Ethan. How are you?
All right.
All right, Stalo, well, let me hear what you have to say today.
Absolutely. You know, as for the hot seat, you know, and the people who within our community who are the only ones in the entire country who matter when it comes to who's trying to excuse racism. See, it doesn't matter when a white person tries to excuse racism and the stuff that's right here in our face that our children have to deal with every day. But when our own do it, it's even more terrible because we have a responsibility to, you know, show the truth, you know. These are, you know, and it brings me to think of a lot of descriptions that I read about people who are false believers or hypocrites they say that they are secretly wicked, so they will always, you'll always notice they avow an insincere allegiance to whatever is beneficial at the moment. If they hop on the bandwagon a lot, then most likely they're one of those false, secretly wicked people, you know. And we have a lot of that, those type of people within our own community. And it shows to me the connection of low self-esteem to hypocrisy in a lot of ways. Because if you're okay with yourself, you know, you're going to be okay with yourself. You're okay with your own display of yourself, you know. But you have a lot of people who say one thing and then say another thing when they're around the other race, or say another thing when they're around this person or that person, or anything, you know. And a lot of, like you said, the self-hatred is festering underneath it and, you know, behind the scenes as well. And it's good that we start to point it out, you know, because what's happening is, you know, we need to just give the hatred back to the man who originated the hatred. We didn't originate this, okay? Right now we have a lot of us who are foolishly competing for disgrace. We're competing to see who's doing the worst, who did the worst, who's the most terrible, who has the most terrible condition, who can be the most cold-blooded and heartless. It's ridiculous. Now we're competing for the disgrace of him, of the man. We standardized subpar behavior. We compare ourselves to mediocrity and say, oh yeah, we're doing a little bit better than, you know, the subpar that we see every day, so we're okay. It's, you know, and it's like we never noticed how, you know, I don't know, man, it's crazy. We don't notice how it affects us. You know, I asked somebody how racism affects them earlier. They told me, and this is a 24-year-old person, they told me that they never even acknowledged race whatsoever, racism or anything. They didn't even, they ignored it all the way until they reached their adulthood. And when they found out, this is a male too, when he found out, now it's hitting him hard, you know. And he said until he realized racism, and really stopped trying to ignore it for some reason. He's dealing with that, whatever that reason was. He had blamed his own family for everything bad, obsessively, almost. Like, he blamed his family. Sometimes he even blamed God, you know. And he didn't even, you know, it's crazy. So we got a lot of us going through some stuff, you know. You know, and, you know, we'll be helped. But the reason why we're going through it.
I'm sorry. Funny you should say what you just said, because I asked a grown person yesterday who's in his 40s. What does he think of the state of racism today? Well, about racism. And I was told that racism is a lot better today than it was. What?
Hello.
You mean to tell me that because they're not outright lynching us anymore, that they can't just do that, that it doesn't exist anymore, it's not as bad? Are you kidding me? Just because a black man could go into a job after they search his Facebook and fingerprinted him and do whatever and still have to compete with salary worth, that's the situation, that racism doesn't exist? Mm-hmm. I'm getting people saying that it's the single black mothers that are doing certain things, and it's our own people saying it. But that's not an issue. And then on top of that, after that person heard my disagreeing point, had the nerve to say, well, what do you know? You're a half-breed.
But, oh, my God. But I tell you why we have this type of thing, why we have the disgrace, because that's disgraceful for somebody to say something like that. You know, society encourages us, imitate the man. Imitate his whole emotional makeup, his violence, his envy, his backbiting, cold-blooded nature, you know, his hatred towards women, ridiculously hypocritical arguments. This society encourages us to imitate that man, all right? That same man who has, you know, bestowed all the oppression and confused all the histories and destroyed everything. And when these people act like this towards us, and they are us, these people are imitating the man. These are not our people. They've made a conscious decision to imitate the man. And even if they didn't make it consciously, some things are put in your heart or put on your mind and your psyche or what have you. But when we draw attention to it, you know, like this, like the 24-year-old male I talked to earlier, he said when he realized it, he stopped blaming even his own family. He was obsessing over this thing. He almost hated the people he was living with.
Absolutely.
Until he realized something was going on. That's absolutely crazy.
Well, with everything that you just mentioned, how do you think our children are affected by it? Because I want to go to Deacon next to hear his viewpoint.
Well, in that respect, I know the children are dealing with it in such a way. I mean, the thing is, the children's going to deal with it the way we deal with it, the way the mainstream of us deals with it. Now, whatever's readily available to them, because everything isn't available to a child. A child has limited access to information, except for on the internet and you know, their day-to-day schedules. They don't have unlimited access to their own schedules. Their schedules are supposed to be dictated by something else outside of them, their children. But aside from that, when they get the internet and the television and everything, then they're exposed to everything. And so however the mainstream is dealing with it is how they're dealing with it. Mainstream is going out of their mind crazy. You know, the music, the crazy, everything is crazy. So that's how the children are dealing with it. Now, children are very, very, very bright, though. So we have hope, you know. We can give the hatred back to the white man and bring the love back towards us, see, because we have hope, because when a child starts hearing and absorbing the knowledge that will make sense of all of this, the knowledge that makes sense of this, the knowledge of self, okay? And when we talk about the knowledge of self, we don't just leave it as a phrase, okay? Knowledge of self is knowledge of who civilized the world. What state are we in now? What are all the prophecies and the sacred narratives pointing towards, or what aren't they pointing towards? How are they being used? These are these things that children pick up on quicker than adults. The older you are, the slower you're going to pick up on it, to, you know, within your relative context now. But as children, it's just amazing. Just give them some guidance. They'll take it. Because it doesn't make sense in the media. Lil Wayne don't make sense. Okay, none of these people that they idolize, they know they don't make sense as well. But we have competed for disgrace instead of competing for excellence.
Absolutely. You know what? I want to come back to a point that you just said with regards to Lil Wayne. And I want, Deacon, you're up.
You know, not to disgrace that man either.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to get back to you in a minute. Go ahead, Deacon.
Well, first of all, I would just like to say it is so easy to have hate against one race, because for the simple fact it is so easy to do that, but it takes work to fight against racism, you know, because it's been around for so long. It wasn't something that was brought to the table by us, by our people, because if you look back through our history, we have always been a loving type of people. You know, there before the invasion by the Caucasian race, the Europeans or what have you, we were a peaceful people, and today's society is just. It's in a horrible state right now, because why waste your energy in hating another race? It doesn't make sense to me. It's just like here in Toledo, Ohio, a gentleman was leaving a Channel 13 news station. Just did an interview and was talking about the affairs here in the black communities and with the police officers and whatnot. And when the interview was over, he was leaving the building and was pulling out of the parking lot. And less than about a quarter of a mile away from the television station, he gets pulled over by the police. Now, this person is kind of funny to me, because the police didn't realize who they had pulled over. This was the newly elected city councilman of Toledo, Ohio, that they pulled over. They racially profiled him. They made him get out of his car and get face down in the middle of the street. Pull guns out on him. And when they did find out who he was, they tried to apologize and act like, you know, it wasn't a big deal, and allowed him to get back into his car. But what they didn't realize, he was taping the whole situation, you know, what was being said at first before they realized who they were dealing with. And so now in today's paper, he's on the front page saying that he's calling for a full investigation against the Toledo Police Department, which I think is justifiable. And
right.
It was brought to the attention of the mayor of the city, and he had no choice but to push forward also. But the point that I'm trying to make is, why does something like that even exist? We're supposed to be a country that is so powerful to where we're always got our nose into other countries' business, and we can't even clean up the muck and the mire that's in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
It is very amazing. You know, and I was always told by my parents coming up, you can't talk about somebody's backyard when your backyard is full of clutter itself. You have to take care of your backyard first, get it cleaned up, and then possibly you can help somebody else, help your neighbor out. You know, but you have a lot of ignorance that is still in the world, and it has to be stomped out.
And the problem with that is this, with tonight's topic. Okay, you just spoke about a black official that was pulled over and racially profiled. And we already know that exists out there with us. The problem that happens is, if that angers us, if that makes us want to get up there and go punch somebody or go do something, why on earth don't we see that what we're doing, taking that behavior and putting it up to upon ourselves, is affecting our children? Why did it take any action to be done simply because this guy happens to be in a high capacity of authoritative figure? Why is it that it couldn't just be the fact that that shouldn't exist? And if they're not liking a black person and we're not liking a dark-skinned person in our own race, how are we any different?
Right.
How are we any different? How, like you said about our own backyard, how can we sit there and be pissed off with people doing this to us when we can't turn around and justify our own behavior to our own so we could tell our children, you see what just took place there? That's deplorable, and I don't want to see you do it, and you are not to accept it. How can we do that when we're doing it ourselves? All these little jokes that we think is our internal things. You know, oh, yeah, look at his little black butt. Oh, look at his little crispy self. Oh, yeah, look at her little high yellow self. Why is that an issue? Why is it that our children can't hear somebody else who doesn't talk slang and say you're trying to be white? Why is it that we can't sit there and celebrate proper use of English but still be able to kick it loose with our friends and still understand that it doesn't make you any more any less? Why do we have to have girls sitting with each other and asking somebody who has hair a little shoulder length, is that your real hair? What the hell does it matter what you're wearing? Yet and still, we can watch all these white people wear the most ridiculous of wigs, and it's okay, it's acceptable, it's expected. Why is that?
Because
and how are we going to tell our children that you are good as you are, you're good as you are, you're perfect as you are, but then turn around and say, oh, you got a weave in your head, ha ha ha. You know, I was listening. You guys all know who Sky Grid is. She was on the Lavinia Johnson archives. Call it, I see you there. Sky did a broadcast tonight. I actually found the time and was able to listen in. And one of the things that her co-host, a male, thank you, Jesus, said was he was referring to the fact that Tyrese, the singer, has been slamming reality shows because he's saying exactly what I've said all along, that the reality show that they put out depicting the image of black women, such as Basketball Wives, has actually been our own sword that we fall on, right? Okay.
Right.
One of the things that this co-host said was they're paying for all these high expensive weaves and everything. And if you're looking at it on one of those analog TVs, yeah, it looks like a great job. But if you've got one of those flat screen, high definition TVs, okay, you can see that it looks ridiculous. All right, so this is what a black male is saying. But he was saying it in a positive fashion, stating that you don't need all these ridiculous props trying to be something that you're not to be good or to be great. So the thing is this. Basketball Wives shows Evelyn Lozada, who, A, according to the way she was doing things, she's a class A slut, at least by the way her actions are. All right, I don't know the woman, don't know what she does for real. I don't know if this is all for the camera show, but here goes back to that question. Why would that be something you want to use as your way to grab attention? Okay, so we have that. Then we got this girl who everybody is just like the Jerry Springer show. Uh-oh, she done said something that made Evelyn mad. Evelyn's foot shaking. So she's being expected to go as a grown woman across the table to smack another grown woman. This is how they're depicting us, and it's making thousands of dollars, millions of dollars. So she said this. And what gets me is she's absolutely right. Then in one of the, and every time they get to the reunion, oh, it gets even worse. They can't sit around and reflect back on things that they could have done differently. They're enhancing the beef. Well, you're a non-MF factor. That was one of Evelyn Lozada's famous trademark signature sayings. Okay? And people started buying T-shirts with the you're a non-MF factor. Okay, meanwhile, she brought that came about because in one of the segments, Evelyn Lozada was talking to the other girls, asking how could she approach Tammy to let Tammy know she had slept with her husband. So when Tammy said, you could have said this to me in the beginning when we were first meeting or whatever, this could have came out whatever horrible stuff was going to come from it would have been there, done that, we would have been over, would have been friends. She had the nerve to turn around and tell this woman, who she just admitted to sleeping with her husband, you're a non-mother effing factor. And we went out there, was like, oh, did you hear what she said? Yeah, and started wearing this T-shirt. So how do we expect our children to believe that they're growing up into a world that's going to not accept them per se, but that they have a right to feel good, or that they are good as they are, when we're sitting up here valuing ourselves based on if we can match up to the most famous basketball wife on that series, if we could be as raunchy and rough and hard and disrespectful as the girls on the Bad Girl Club, if we could be the first guy to dump the most baby mamas like the guys on 16 and Pregnant. That we have to put our five-year-old daughters in these ridiculous young baby beauty pageant TV shows and make them wear cakes of makeup and make them go out there, as this woman said with Honey Boo Boo, she creates a concoction called Go-Go Juice to keep the girl up and running. She's five or six maybe now. But this is what we put value on. This is what we tell our children. You have to wear a weave that shows your hair is long and flowing. You have to wear skirts that even at 5 and 6 and 7 show your little thighs. You have to wear heels and walk out with thick makeup at 5 years old, because the beauty pageant is not being judged on how cute you are as just a kid. You have to go into the world of beauty. And now let's talk about that. The world of beauty. You have to be light-skinned. You have to be straight-haired. You got to have long hair. You got to have straight teeth. You have to have small lips. You can't have a big nose. You can't show any signs of being of African-American heritage, because that's not beautiful. Beautiful is freckle-faced Kate Moss, who looks like she starved herself to death, but they find that beautiful. Beautiful means you have to go and risk your life and get breast augmentation. Because your small breasts are not good enough. Because you know what? It's not your brains or your generous heart or your loyalty that's going to get you by. It's not. That's not what anybody's going to want you for. They want to see how big your butt is and how big your breasts are. That's where we're at.
Something else. Yeah.
That's where we're at. And now here we are, black people, black parents, black leaders, churches that are out there doing the same thing. No longer can we go to Reverend Smith's church now because he's on TV. Let's click and see if we can get an appointment with him. Black men don't have the backups they used to have with the church, as we mentioned before, on the reason why these black religions and the wars between them caused the community to fall. They don't have that preacher that used to care and come to your house for Sunday dinner to get to the bottom of why this family hasn't been to church. They don't care anymore that little Johnny used to be a good kid. Now he's running with the bad guys. They're too busy trying to see how much of net worth they can be on big people's media. How many mega virtual churches can we go to? How many BS holy calls can we give our money for? I saw one that actually said that he was selling the original, I don't know if it was a cloth or something, that Mary wiped Jesus' feet with, or his head or something. And I'm saying, if you have millions of items of that product in stock, how could it be the original one? How can you say that you are selling millions of copies of the cloth that was wiped the real Jesus' feet? What'd you do? Take little strips of it and just keep on rubbing off a little bit at a time and packaging it? I mean, how silly are we? How stupid could we possibly be to take one of the most derogatory words associated with us by white supremacy? And because we changed the letter, we've adopted it as a culture that nobody but us can say to each other. What's up, my nigga? Hey, what's up, yo, the nigga this? Oh, what's up? And let me get back to what you said, Salo. Lil Wayne don't make a damn bit of sense. Even Jay-Z, you couldn't. Everybody talked, made a joke in Hollywood about how Jay-Z comes out with lyrics that clearly are saying something, but nobody else can understand right off the bat what it means. Right? Okay. Yet, every damn culture that we come out with to be big and be bad has to depict us as clowns. Slave or slave. Gold teeth all across the rim, a big old clock, the Viking ears, and okay to be called at his own roast a flying monkey, a crispily, crackly coon, something Cat Williams said he was outraged about. And Slade's response was, I don't care what they call me. They've got to pay me, boy.
And see, with the Lil Wayne thing, it's not even what he says. What he says, I think people can understand what he looks like. Is even, I mean, I'm not even to disgrace anybody, man. I ain't going to disgrace that man. But at the same time, it's just something to me that these are the role models. And now, you know, even if he's just realizing he's now a role model, what are you doing about it? Maybe you just
how
realizing
the hell can it. Tell our children, how can, no, I'm not going to excuse that one. I'm not. How can we tell our children that you are to present yourself and love who you are? By giving them the best of you without the props, without the changing yourself. Love yourself as you are. Be confident in yourself. When we can't do it, when we can't stop telling our children not to look to cosmetic alterations, to stop trying to bleach your skin, to not look like a damn clown when you come out in front of nationwide media. Why is that? Let me bring our caller in because they've been waiting quite a bit, so hang on a second. Welcome to the show, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
Hey,
hi, Tanya.
Hi. All right, I'm going to get to you in 1 minute. I'm just going to finish out this point, Darlene. I really need to know that. Every new person that emerges, if it's not a white guy that's collaborating with some famous black person who can't seem to get a break in his own world with his own music, but we'll give you a little something if you collaborate with Eminem, or if you can collaborate with Justin Bieber, with Miley Cyrus. Any of these people can be okay. They can profit off of everything that we do. This is what we are showing our children. Not for them to go out there and demand their rights in the world. Listen, you are white America, you want what I have, I'm telling you, this is what I'm going to give it to you for. Not teaching them how to go about and look at all aspects of what we're doing and not just looking at the big money prize. Looking at the fact that, okay, if I do this and they take legal action here, if I do this then and I put this out, they could say this. This is what you should be teaching them. But in the midst of it all, let it be known that in the midst of all the fluff and all the props, this is me. And I love me. Darlene, what's your take on tonight's topic, honey? And welcome back.
Thank you. Hi, I just been watching a little my little nephew, so, and he just keep moving around, so I didn't want the disturbance, you know, but I just needed to touch on two things that really stuck out like a sore thumb to me. The gentleman, I believe that was Zeke, that just said, about the muck and the mire and cleaning out our own backyard. Now, that is so vital. Like, that is everything. When you're talking about getting to the root of a problem and trying to find a solution, that is one of the roots of the problem. Like, configurating people, getting people together who's on the same level. You know, we really do need to clean up our own backyard. We really do need to address issues that keep our society in bondage. We really need to come together as a people. And, I mean, we talk about these things, but we really need to, like, start putting some serious things in place. I'm not too familiar on a political level, you know, but I do know that if someone calls my name and if it's something that I believe in and I will stand for it, they got me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in touch with all of these high-powered people and people that can put you in place. But for the ones who are there, what is going on. Like, start utilizing the people that you know. If people, you know, if you're familiar with somebody that can put you in a place where you can open the door for the next one, like, go ahead. Like, because we can talk about this until we green in the face, but if we don't become active with it, then we might as well just stay on the phone for the rest of our life. You know what I'm saying? So I'm ready to not just make a difference. I'm ready to start seeing a difference. And I don't mean seeing a difference on a political level where we're going to change laws and this and this and that. But if I just was able to come into a group of people and we had a meeting or something, you know, to me that's evidence. You know, that's a start somewhere.
Right.
Okay, that's one of my concerns. Then another issue that was said on last night's panel, and I truly believe this, and I'm a God-fearing person, but I truly believe this. I just don't believe that God wants us to sit by and watch this happen to us with our arms folded. I believe there's a song out there that said, he said, if you take one step, he will take two. But, like, we are not even taking that one step. Nobody wants to make that first step. But we want to trust him, and we want to put all of this on him. Like, give God a break. You understand? Like, he's handling all the people in the whole wide world. Like, there's things that we can do for ourselves that we just don't have to put on him. And that's just standing up for ourselves. We have to stand. God can't stand up for us. We have to stand up for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible says. You can have faith all you want. You can believe all you want. I like bringing up this little piece in the scripture with Jonah. Jonah sat on a, after he was rescued from the whale, he laid on a beach or the shore or whatever little oasis God should let the fish spit him up on. And God gave him shade. And the next morning, he went to sleep the night and woke up the next morning with the sun blaring on him and the tree dried up. You have to take care of that tree. God gave it to you beautiful, perfect, straight. And that doesn't mean that you don't have anything to do with it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to ask you this. The internal hating that we have with each other, you know the common stuff. The first one and foremost, we have complexion wars. The second one is we've got people coming in trying to close their eyes to what's happening. We get a few on this show, right? I'm going to bring up something before I get to you answering, Darlene. Guys, you were with me last night. So you heard, I believe, we had the caller that said that it's racism only when he's in a job interview, and the interviewer asked him if he ever bumped his knee before. But racism wasn't Donald Sterling's comments. Okay, how do you think, because we have part of our internal hating is just that, where we don't want to ever blame the outsiders for their behavior. We want to figure out how is it that we are allowing these people to behave that way with us. So how can you sit there, those of you that do this, and say to a person who just got told that you are black and you're ugly and you stink and you're not allowed here, or you're a nigger, or you're a this. How do we sit there and tell our kids, they just got called a nigger by a white teacher, but that's not racism? What did you do to be called a nigger?
Well, I'll tell you what, if that's not racism, you go into a business on an interview and you have a Caucasian interview, okay? And if you threw back at him what he threw back at you, and you tell me the end result, you understand? Now, if it's not racism, and for me, that's any situation. If you could say it to me, I could say it to you. You understand what I'm saying? If you call me ugly, I could say, well, you ain't that cute either. All right, and if you don't expect me to get upset about it, then if I say you're not that cute either, then why should you get upset?
Are we that confused? I mean, like, truly, I know that if Professor Jones was here, he would have a long list of reasons why we are. But there got to come a point in time where we have to use our adult sense. There's got to be something that gets us to the point of saying, damn, I did this, that, and this, all of that, but yo, wait a minute. You know what? Let me say this to you guys. You know how no matter what your wife says to you or whatever anybody says to you, you go, yeah, whatever, whatever, whatever. But they come near that car of yours and try to scuff it, or them shoes you have that you just polished up and brushed up to perfection, and now you're like, whoa, you just, hey, don't mess with the car. Hey, don't mess with the sneakers. How about saying, hey, don't mess with my kid?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
How about saying that? How about going up to that school or to that, maybe not the cops right away, maybe not their face, but definitely go around them. But how about that? How about having just that much anger and despair and disgust for that? How about saying, wait a minute, my kid don't have any diapers today. Well, I can't go clubbing with you, bro. How about saying, listen, you could call me stupid if you want to, because I know I'm not stupid, but you call me a nigga, we're going to have a problem. How about telling that young black boy who looks up to you, who kicks it with you, that, yo, listen, young blood, that's not the word to use, man. That ain't cool. How about you moms that are out there buying the yakky weaves and the whole nine? Let your daughters know, I'm doing this because I just want to look different. Not because I feel the need to be beautiful because of it. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about we stop acting like victims to ourselves?
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Because our mentality, we enslaved as much as we allow them to enslave us. And we not in control of anything else. We are in full control of what we accept and what we do not accept. Even if
absolutely,
we're not in control of nothing else, we are in control of that.
Absolutely.
And we gave that up so quickly. Like if, you know, we sold that. You understand? We even sold that. You know what I'm saying? So for me, it just behooves me because we fight over the most meaningless thing. We burn out all our energy on.
We definitely do. We definitely do, Darlene. We definitely do. We definitely sell our pride short. We sell ourselves short, our identities if we have to. We're allowing our boys to show their ass in public with a belt and some low sagging pants. We're trying to degrade them in a sense. We're trying to degrade them into submission.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting up there fighting people, trying to help, and not supporting our own, but supporting everybody right in our neighborhoods. I think Deacon touches on it often. Half of them can't speak English, you know, coming here and smiling our face while cursing us out in their language, taking our money and won't even allow us to shop on a 24-hour basis if they're a 24-hour store inside the store.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting up there peeking past them through a revolving window going, yeah, the one back there, not that one. No, the blue one next to it. Yeah, that one. Let me have that one. Meanwhile, a white person would have been like, I can't come in the store. Well, you're not getting my money.
Mm-hmm.
You and the ones that's in position, and the ones that's in position just want to still be with the That's the thing that, and then they talk about how we act like, how we always blame it on the white man for where we are today. But in the same breath, well, the white man don't have control. But I tell you what, since you don't believe he has control, walk up to him and tell him how you really feel.
I dare you.
Walk up to him. If there's equal opportunity is active, like I put a post up the other day, and I need to say this. The only equal opportunity to me that's in effect is that when we all die, if we don't have ID, we all become a Jane or John Doe. That's the only equal opportunity that's active. Okay.
Wait, got another one for you. If we should get bombed by one of those terrorists, our blood will all be red. And neither one of us are going to look white or black if all of our bits are everywhere.
And
by
the
way, white people, if you don't want to be near us, I can guarantee you that if we all work in the same area, if that should happen, all of your bits will be mixed up with ours, so you'll probably die with a heart attack after death.
I will say this.
If we don't like what's going on, we need to not do it to ourselves. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. I say this. Everybody, I remember when I posted the question the day of the Donald Sterling segment that I did. And the pre-broadcast question was brought up, and one of the suggestions that was made was we boycott the tickets. Don't go to the games. Don't watch the games on TV. A lot of people tend to think that if you just click in your remote at home, you're not giving them money. Yes, you are. Nielsen ratings, every click you put on counts how many people are watching that program at that time. Okay? So if we can just bear to be kicked up in front of the game by what we see on the internet, by what we see in the newspapers, and not watch it live or be there live, we got control. Darling, something you just said, if we can control what it is we do or what we accept, we also can control our money. We can choose to shop someplace that's not there. I had someone tell me when I mentioned even here, not even on the social media, I said, if we boycott the sneakers, all right, well then, Katie, let me ask you this. If they don't buy those sneakers, then what sneakers do you suggest we use? How about ones that don't belong to the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
How about ones that don't say L.A. Clippers? How about we go look for Mr. FUBU designer and find out what he could do a little better? How about we actually use the suggestion box for our black entrepreneurs and tell them maybe the reason why your product isn't selling is because we actually like this type of style. And you're kind of making it that way. How about people in the iconic positions actually offer their expertise or use their status to help their own along? How about that? How about we stop going to chicken fried rice and go down into the soul food place? And then on the other hand, business owners, how about you stop trying to overtax your own people? And in the process of all this, how about we do all those things so we could show our children, tonight's topic, just how much value means?
Yes.
How about you black men stop telling your wives that their weaves are something to joke about, meanwhile you leave them stranded after all they sat there and went through with you to go to another culture person who's knocking her out the way to get the sale on the Brazilian bundle? And letting them know that they're great and they're celebrated for doing exactly what you laughed at your queens about.
Mm-hmm.
And how about we not show our little boys to do the same? And our little girls to think that they have to go all over the cosmetic edge just to please you guys. And by the way, those of you laughing all here, over here in our people land, you laughing, the very ones of you that laugh about what weaves we wear, it's exactly what will have a white person come in and find the beauty in it.
Mm.
Why is it that white men, while they degrade us, the ones that actually do love us or love what is beautiful about us, will accept that weave, the short hair, the curly hair, the bald look, whatever, without laughing? And you very men that think this goes over will sit there and say, oh, she hates herself, she's confused. How about you stop making her look for other options when she's clearly trying to make you the only one?
And that's why knowledge of self is so important. Knowledge of self enhances all of that, everything.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When you know yourself,
Listen, all you can do is know. I want to just cut you for 1 second. Knowledge is important, but knowledge without works is what? Knowledge without using it is what? You know how many Facebook activists know what's wrong with the problem and do nothing? We know. What the hell are we doing? We're letting our kids grow up and grow up and grow up to be just like you. We know what was dropped on us. We know what's missing now. What are we doing to fill it back in? We had Big Mama. We had the grandmother, the nosy neighbor, the teacher with the glasses down to her nose and the the ruler she'd smack across your knuckles. We had that back then.
Mm-hmm. You know, Katie, that's the point I wanted to make. We were talking about the young people with role models who they look up to with these rappers and some of these athletes. When the role models, when I was coming up, was my grandmother, my big mama, my big daddy, or my uncle, or my great uncle, or somebody in my family, to somebody I really looked up to because they were trying to pour knowledge into me to let me know right from wrong. You know, and it's gotten to the point to where all of those things are misguided, because you have a lot of these young people will walk around with these earplugs in their ears and can recite every rap that is on the charts word for word. But ask them to recite a scripture out of a Bible to you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
They can't do it.
That's really how it is. You know, okay. And that's what the backyard will. When we keep referring to the backyard.
Yeah, and it seems like okay, I'll give you an example. Okay, remember the old werewolf movie with Lon Chaney?
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a lot of these young people walking around here like they're howling at the moon when they hear some rap come on. And it's like they're walking around and you think they're having a conversation with somebody. Or they're having a conversation with somebody. It's spiritual, but it's not the type of spirit that you want them to have a conversation with. Because you listen to all the filth that are in some of these raps, man, it's like, wow. Come on. Rap and hip-hop are two different things, and people fail to realize that, a lot of people, when they don't understand what hip-hop and rap is two different things, and which it is. You know, when we were coming up, it was more, I'm not going to say clean, but, you know, it was more street, but it wasn't what it is today.
No, because it used to be positive messages about the street. Everything that you heard, any type of grave or crazy or deep song you heard from back in the days was talking about the bad problems and why it was stupid. They had groups that used to come together to talk about stopping the violence. They had groups that came together to end world hunger. They had groups that came together to give awareness to overseas kids that didn't have it, the privileges that we had. They had Grandmaster Flash talking about cocaine use and how dumb people are when they wind up getting caught up with that habit.
Mm-hmm.
They had people, if you remember all of the rappers that got together, and it was called self-destruction, but they named themselves the Stop the Violence Movement.
Yeah.
Everybody that came out with something back then spoke about it with all their little gear and their hip-hop look and their stage gimmicks, but the stage gimmicks were never to the point of self-destruction. It was never to the point of self-degradation. Degradation, for those of you laughing in the corner.
Yeah.
I just want to say that the way that we are internalizing this hate to ourselves, the part that we can't blame the white man for, and I'm not speaking about the preconditioning to our thinking. I'm talking about what do we know now? Those of you ignorant people that's walking around there as black people saying that racism doesn't exist, tell me then, why is it that you're not changing? Why is it that you're not using this newfound freedom and liberation and civil liberties to make a difference? Why is it that we seem to be worse off now than we were when racism was blatant as day? Why is it?
The love for self, man, it's not there anymore. It's a fading thing, and it's a sad situation because of the fact that 50 years ago, when Martin Luther King was walking around, you see those signs back then that say, I am a man. And when you can't prove be a man, this is what these youth are facing today. They'll say all day, I'm a grown man. But they're still that hurting child on the inside. And the reason why they do the things they do is because they are without guides. They need guidance. Without guidance, you have people in these streets, and they walk around. That started out even back in the golden era, back when I was young coming up. I seen how the hood got after the drugs came, especially, and people start losing their minds. Women, good women and good girls coming up, turned out, and all that type of stuff. All this stuff was a plan, and we fell for the plan. Every life is a war, and you have people who wage war against you. You got to understand what type of war that you're dealing in. And this is a war for our souls, for our children's souls. That's
here's
why rappers not the same anymore. These kids now, did any of y'all see CNN with the kids and how they took the white kid and went all the way to the darkest turn thing? This was just like last year or the year before, and guess what? All the black kids pointed basically to the white kid and say they was the best. Tyra Banks had a show where the little girls, she had mannequins with curly hair and mannequins with straight hair. Guess what? The black kids went for the white. In every situation, they say, if this is good, no. If the black one is good, they point to the black one is bad. So what are our kids being taught?
You're absolutely right. But here's a couple of things for that. Now, I'm going to go, before I go to the mannequin situation, let me go back to this. Absolutely. But before you can get a 16-year-old kid that's already thinking that way, there was that teachable stage, that real absorbing everything you say is God and is the gospel to your children. Let me ask you this before, like I said, I get to the mannequin situation, because I have a little thing about that one. Even if we know what we came up with, even if we are aware, which we know what happens from the outside world to us, when do we get to the point of saying that there's something beyond our own problems that precedes and takes precedence? When? I grew up thinking I was ugly because I had beautiful sisters, that one of them really, really knew how to play that beauty to the letter. I grew up believing I wasn't the greatest person because everybody wanted to attack me sexually or otherwise. I grew up believing that there was something wrong with me because the people that I loved used to beat and hurt me. But I never let my children believe that they were ugly because one was lighter or one had straighter hair. Never. Because their safety and their well-being was more than me. When did we get there? It doesn't take the white supremacy.
No, that's the difference.
There comes a point in time where there's got to be something that's more important than you, something that motivates you to say, regardless of what I'm into, I've got to show this to be different. Listen, you guys seen Pursuit of Happiness, where Will Smith played that the black stockbroker guy that was homeless with his son. He took a situation that made them both cry, but still was determined to make it better, was still able to teach his kid, we are in this horrible situation, but look here. But you are not the problem. You are great, and everything about you means the world to me. When the hell do we stop taking the fears that we have about taking the bull by the horns and trying to make a difference? When do we stop looking for the easy fix and understand we made this mess? So now to get out of this mess, we've got to deal with all the ugly crap that comes from it to get there. But it takes work. And as far as the mannequin situation, do you know why all the black kids look at the white one and says it's better? Take a real good look. And all of us here, we're pretty grown up, right? When they finally decided to give ethnicity into these dolls, think about how they portrayed blackness in dolls. Anybody know where I'm going yet? Darlene, I'm going to talk to you because you probably think like me a little quicker. Every time you go out to buy a black Barbie, what does a black Barbie look like?
She's real, real black.
One?
That's one. At one time, they had a Barbie with an afro nappy hair before they became, with the Caucasian, because at one time they had both. They had light skin and dark skin. Then they came. Then they created a fine skin Barbie. So you got three skin tones of Barbies. But when they originated the black Barbie, she was black like soot with nappy.
She wasn't even a true dark black, like a true dark skin. She was like a crayon.
Right.
So first of all,
black.
Thank
black.
You. Right.
Blue
thank
black.
You.
Blue. I was going to say blue black.
Thank you. So like I said, Darlene, I knew you'd pick up on what I was thinking. So, naturally, first of all, she's real black. And the only thing they show of her eyes is like that thing you saw. Does anybody, I don't know how many of you are too young, but there was a song by Bonnie Tyler called Total Eclipse of the Heart. At the end of this movie, they had these little Damien Omen C2-looking kids with the bright glowing eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Well, that's what these Barbie dolls look like. So now you
mm-hmm.
tell me, Al-Tariq, if all you gave was beautiful, perfectly coiffed Barbie, white, and then black doll Barbie with the afro that you can barely comb and do whatever, there. Well, first of all, there's something else I'm going to go to about that. But if that's what you put on the table for a choice of what looks better or what is nicer or what you are more preferable of, what would you pick?
I'm going to pick the thing that looked the closest to me.
That's probably what you do now in your adult age with smarts and comprehension. We're talking about kids.
People that educate you, that's what we were
talking
about.
Thank you. That was my next point. That was my next point. Because here's where we failed again. We are the ones that conditioned those children to not understand that black Barbie is beautiful just the way it is. Because
exactly.
Let's take a look at what Hollywood does. Even when they allow black kids to be portrayed, who do they pick to be conceived as beautiful blacks? A light-skinned girl that's close with small features and long hair. Let's take a look
mm-hmm.
at the Cosby kids. As much as I commend Bill Cosby for being an all-black cartoonist and all-black, promoting black whatever, take a look at his five kids in the Huxtables.
Mm-hmm.
And the two truly black children that they had there, one had to be all into hip-hop and an idiot, which was the son. And then they had Vanessa being too ethnic.
Mm.
Trying to constantly speak about, oh, no, my African heritage, my this. You don't need to say it. It will show. It is what
mm-hmm.
it is. That's what racists do. Mm. See, I'm not a racist. My best friends are black. George Wallace, the biggest damn racist of the world that just croaked and kicked the butt a couple of years ago. Had a black butler that every time the news was trying to expose him as a racist, he kept pulling his butler forward to the camera. No, right? I don't have a problem with black people. Look, see, I like, this is my butler. I like him. He's my friend. And meanwhile, you see the butler back there trying to control his emotions while he's nodding, like Eddie Murphy's joke about the James Brown band. I don't know what James saying. Just keep singing. We getting paid. Yeah.
Can I say something, Katie?
Yes, you
and
can.
I think this is so important. I need to go back for a minute, and I need to, give you my interpretation of organization/groups. Before any nationality that has their own organization form,
mm-hmm.
they didn't start out as an organization. It started out with one person. It started out with a thought.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That thought was told to somebody else, and somebody else might have been in agreement with it, and it made it two thoughts. And then they talked to somebody else, and it made it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And the ones who didn't already have a community within a community, quote-unquote, because I found out that a community, the definition of community is something that you're in control of. Am I correct?
Correct.
A community is something that a group of people are in control of. Before they became in control of, it started with one thought, one person, one idea.
One
my
concern.
Point is this. My point is this. It seems like black people get scared of the word group, form,
mm-hmm.
together, unite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they run from those words, right? So for me, I'm trying to be a realist with it. Then my one thought, I can just relay my one thought to another person. I'm not a dreamer. I would like to see things. I would like to see a change. I really would. In my heart, soul, spirit, mind, blood, veins, muscles, everything that I'm made up of. So, being how I understand that our people are afraid of those words, unite, stick together. They it's like Dracula going into daylight. You know, they run from those words. They're afraid of those words because the words have a real meaning. As long as they live in their fantasy world, they're good. But bring them into reality, it scares them to death because there's a fight. That word, they are so afraid of fight, they just equate it with violence. And that's not necessarily what a fight means. A fight only means to stand up for what you believe in. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be physical with it. So maybe we need to understand our, get in the heads of our people more. And maybe we need to just come over to their level and say whatever that makes would entice them or make sense to them. In other words, when you in Rome, you do as the Romans do, right or
right.
wrong? Okay.
Right.
My point is this: if somebody is not fully aware of what's going on, then I'll just come to their level to strike a conversation, to get into their minds, to see what they think, to see how they feel, and find out what they believe in. And if they still believe in something that's genuine and that's progressive to us as a people, okay, I got me a little friend. And then that friend, I'll tell that friend, well, you got some other friends? You understand what I'm saying? My whole point is, like, I live in a neighborhood where people just don't give a damn. They don't care. They got their little condos. They swear they on cloud nine. They think they better than, and their heads is too far up in the sky. You understand? And they don't really have any compassion for the next human being. But, okay, so let's talk. So what if we stop trying to target people who don't want to listen and grab onto the ones who are willing to listen, or grab onto the ones who doesn't have any knowledge, or try to grab onto the youth who don't have any knowledge, period.
Absolutely. And it goes back to me saying all the time that instead of you trying to storm a mountaintop that never was yours to begin with, why don't you utilize and expand on what you have control of, your family and your kids' friends, which tonight is about the effects on the youth. Your job is to be consistent until they get it. Your job is to continue to do it until they get it. Because it's like telling your kid to go clean their room and then going back into the living room and not paying attention to see if they did it. All right?
Right.
They're supposed to be the people you have to say things a million times to. They're going to be the ones to go, well, Mom, that doesn't make sense. Oh, I go through that with my 16-year-old all the time.
But
that's
I'll tell
stupid.
You what, I'm sorry, I'll tell you what, though, I'd rather take my chances with them and have to tell them over a million times than to try to get through to somebody that is set in their way.
Absolutely, but that's the point. That's the point. This week is about the youth. That's the generation that's most important. I can't go talk to some 65-year-old vet that believes he knows more than them than what's going on, and he has his own ways of thinking, and it's done. And he only goes by what's in his immediate neighborhood. Never stepped a day out of Front Street, but he can tell you about worldly expertise. You can't talk to people who are so dead set on thinking that what they're suffering doesn't really exist from where it comes from. So you deal with the people who still have some plantability in their garden. The same way our white supremacists and oppressors do. They sit there and they study us. They study us to see what's the biggest thing that offends us. What's the biggest things that we worry about? Just like the devil. What's the biggest thing that will reach out to us and will, if they could be a pretend savior to that particular thing, bingo, I got them.
Well,
I'm
going to say this and I'm going to be
young girl.
Yes. The only thing I have to say, the only thing I have to say, Katie, is that, you know what, I am not. And my name is Darlene Cox Owen. And I don't care who repeat it, where you tell it, I'll stand for it. I am not giving up on my people until the fat lady sings.
I'm with you. I can't, because I have quite a few of members of that people growing up that I gave birth to. And there's no way in hell that I'm not going to do every and anything I can to defend them, to prepare them, to enrich them, to support them or uplift them. And if it should mean that anybody they come for an overnight visit or a pajama party, I can do the same, hey. Well, as it stands right now, as long as you have breath, you have an opportunity. Every day you wake up is a new learning possibility. Every day you wake up, you have a chance to break something stupid that you did, to give your kids a chance. And yes, they're going to tell you, how are you going to tell me not to smoke when you were smoked all the time when you were my age? That's why. I could tell you because I've been there. I've suffered the horrible part of it. I've been there and see what it did to me. And I could tell you it was a prison. I could tell you that I tried to stuff tissue in my bra to make my breasts look bigger because Bobby Caldor was looking at me on the other side. I could tell you how stupid that was. I can tell you that because I've been there, done that, and I know better now. I could tell you as a guy that I tried to put cologne on my testicles and it wasn't a good effect. All of you laughing because everyone of you done been there, done that. So I can share that information with you because I've lived it. I'm not talking from some textbook understanding. And by the way, we have 10 minutes left, and I do want to let you know that I was going to poll the group to see if we are in the mood for trolls, but as it stands right now, I refuse to waste the energy on that. I'm not really in the mood to defend it or try to do it, no way. So continuing on with the situation, there's way too many things that we are doing as a black people and this generation in charge that we're not taking charge of a damn thing. We are allowing our kids to grow up to believe that the things that are the reasons for what many of our ancestors and up think and act the way they do, that needs to be changed now because each generation is responsible for learning from the other generation and expanding and improving on this generation to pass the buck to the next one. We failed in doing that. We got too caught up with trying to get our ears pierced and regain our youth as men and women. We're too busy trying to pat our kids in the back for getting their side just right. We're too busy patting our sons in the back for how many girls they slept with and too busy patting our girls in the back for how many guys that they said they don't need. We're too busy telling each other that if you talk with your punctuation in place, you're trying to be white and you're hating your blackness.
Mm-hmm. The cipher has been broken and it needs to be closed off.
And funny, I grew up with Southern black parents and Puerto Rican mother, and I can tell you right now, neither one of them had the English language down pat too good. But I can guarantee you one thing, they definitely will put a foot up in the crack of your behind if you messed up on your education. They didn't understand anything about your algebra, but they made sure that whatever the teacher said needed to be done was done. They knew how to explain that whatever it is they didn't have or couldn't afford or wasn't allowed to have by some crazy law, now that you're able to get it, you're going to utilize it because they walked the miles of suffrage for you to get that opportunity. What the hell happened to us, the people that were the kids of that, to do it? Why is it that, like I said, the first thing my little girls ask is that you're really here? Guys are even doing it. They see a girl that's pretty. Is that a weave? So? That's what we need to say.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, fellas, let me educate you a little bit. We're not wearing weaves because we're trying to be white. We're not wearing weaves because we don't like our blackness. We don't want to wait 8 months for our damn haircut to grow back in to know what it's like to have long hair.
We don't want to sit under a five-hour perm job to get curly jerry curls. We don't want to wait to see if we can sit under a six-hour procedure to get our hair colored. We don't want to wake up 3 hours earlier in the morning that we already have to wake up early to get to work so that we can flat iron our hair or curl it up or do whatever. Maybe we just want the ease of us pulling our hair back and still looking good in the process. You guys get your ignorance together because you have a generation to save and you're not doing your part right. If you guys are cursing out your baby mamas, that's what your baby girls and your baby boys are going to see. If you older people are walking around trying to pretend racism never happened or trying to forget the bad, painful memories you have by telling your kids that it's your fault, you're being too black, too ghetto, too niggerish, then why don't you just hand the white man the guns and just let's shoot us all right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they said when they were pulling your babies out of your grandmother's arms and putting them on a ship to sell.
Mm-hmm. You know, Katie, a lot of times a lot of people don't realize is that what you have done in your youth and thought that, that's done, it's over with. Some of that stuff comes out in your children. You don't realize it until it's too late, and you look back at it and you're like, wow, wait a minute, that kind of looks familiar. You know, people need to realize that I've said this before, and I got a few laughs, but it wasn't meant to be funny. And that saying is, just because you put syrup on it, don't make it pancakes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing funny in that. Nothing funny in that.
And for those of you that don't get it, just wait a while and wait till you lay down and wake up, you'll get it.
Well, gentlemen, we are down to our last 4 minutes. I want to thank every single one of you. And, Darlene, I so welcome you back. All of you are always a powerful catalyst. I know what all of you do, the passions that you have, what you keep trying to do at all times, some of you as parents, some of you as grandparents, some of you as not parents at all, just have a common desire for things to get better and for us to be restored back to what we once were. We had love and pride once, even without the materialistic enforcements. There were things that we would never allow our children to do or behave like around us, regardless of what other people said was good. And we need to get back to that. We need to start remembering to teach our kids the value of things that don't go away with an upgrade or a better version, the things that will always be around to the day they die. Valuing themselves first, restoring our respect and relationships between each other so our kids can see that this is what it means. Not telling your kids your mother's a bitch and your father's a jackass.
Right.
That's what we need to do. We could call ourselves that in private, but our kids should never know it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start letting our kids measure success by the value of who they are and what they can achieve at their best. So tomorrow night, everybody, we're going to have a repeat of this week's beginning segment so people can catch up. And then Thursday, we will resume part 3 of the State of the Youth series. So until then, be blessed, be a blessing, make a difference. God bless you. Thank you all for listening in. Thank you all for your contributions tonight. Thank you all that I've mentioned in the early of the broadcast. Thank you, and thank you, special thank you to Mark Pittman for his one-month sponsorship to this show. I appreciate you all very much. So God bless you.
God bless you all.
Good night, panel.
Good night.
Love you all. On the Edge, we'll talk about real issues.